columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Do we have more evidence that we're going to see a different Garrett Bowles in 2020? Obviously, Garrett is such a huge part of the Broncos discussion, is and has been and will be, until either his play improves dramatically or there's a different player playing his position. And we know how valuable that left tackle spot is. But if you isolate Garrett Bowles' last five games when Drew Lock played, the same way that the folks at Pro Football Focus did, Pro Football Focus, Stoke, with a broad stroke, when I say Pro Football Focus,
I think there's some good things and some things that are just I don't really put a whole lot of stock into. But I certainly think it's good for certain things. Yeah.
It's like I hear Schlereth, it makes his skin crawl. Chad Brown, football guy through and through, really thinks that Pro Football Focus is valuable and can be a valuable tool.
Yeah, I kind of fall right in between. I think it can be a valuable tool, but some of the stuff I think is
it's too in the weeds.
Right. Yes. Well said.
Air yards per attempt. Stuff like that.
Yeah, that to me just...
Pressures that lead to incompleted passes in the middle hashes of the field?
Yes.
Okay.
Those kind of... The Cortland Sutton, routes outside the numbers stats, like, I don't need all that.
Well, the good folks at Broncos PFF isolated Bowles' last five games of the year when Drew Lock was a starter, weeks 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and contrasted it to weeks 1 through 12, where it was Brandon Allen and Joe Flacco. His Pro Football Focus grade for weeks 1 through 12 is a 68. His grade with Drew Lock, weeks 13 through 17, it goes from a 68 Stoke to an 86.
Wow.
He was just a better player. I think our eyes told us that. The data is backing it up from Pro Football Focus. Did you see the video that he put out?
How could I not? Of course I saw the video.
Garrett Bowles put out a video about, I don't know, an hour before we went on the air or so. And he is working his rear end off. He's got the sledgehammer. He's hitting stuff. He's
like almost slow motion too, right?
Oh, very slow.
It's almost a hype video.
It is a hype video.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
It's set to music too. That's the other thing. They got music going. So it's
all these guys do this now.
I guess that's a cool thing to do, right? If you're not putting out, you know, you're self promoting your workouts and hype videos for yourself, then, you know, you just, you're not doing it right these days, I guess.
It's like a,
you're not
a,
cool.
If a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, did it really,
right.
Did it make a noise? If you worked out but didn't post it, did you actually work out?
Did you?
We don't know.
Right.
And because we don't know, we can assume that you didn't.
Yes, so
you're
that's
not working.
Why we have to post it, so people know we are working.
So we've seen Jerry Jeudy videos, we saw Bradley Chubb video last week, haven't seen much from Vaughn. I'll say that.
That's right.
I think Vaughn is purposely keeping a bit of a low profile. Which I like.
I think that's a good point. I think you're right.
What did you make of, did you see Bowles throwing it off the glass and dunking the basketball?
Well, I was about to say, can you do that?
I can't right now.
I mean, that was pretty impressive.
That
I'm not going to lie. I mean, just like easy peasy. Just like, whoop, throw it up there with the left, catch it with the right, and punch it home. I was like, okay, I see you, GB.
That was impressive. But here's the thing. Being a great athlete and working really hard has never been Garrett's problem.
Right. That's another good point. I mean, that's two in the last 2 minutes. I mean,
pretty good.
For you, super duper good.
I got to get them all out for Thursday and Friday. So I'm
right.
Trying to cram them all in here.
Well, you're doing a good job. You're exactly right. He's a very athletic left tackle. Moves his feet well. So that's never been a concern for him. That's why he got drafted where he got drafted.
Right.
Like, this guy's an athlete.
Yep.
He can move. Look at his feet. And so that's not his issue. Just a lot of other things are.
What's the number one issue for Garrett Bowles?
Clothes lining and somebody behind the back of the head and jumping on top of them and then putting your arms up. And then when you see the flag, you complain. You're like, wait, what? How is that holding? I think that would go to the top of the list for me. What would you say is number one issue?
Well, of course, it's the penalties. It's the penalties. And some of them are egregious. And then the defense of them. We talked a little bit about this in passing yesterday. But Garrett does in some ways remind me of like a bad guy wrestler. You know, like he gives you a low blow, and the ref's looking at him. He's like, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
All you're doing is drawing more attention to yourself.
Right. Using like the ropes as levers to choke someone. And you lift your hands up. The ropes are still wobbly. The ref's like, wait, why are those there? No, it wasn't me. His problem isn't really down-to-down play, is it? Like, he could clean up some things, but playing left tackle in the NFL has got to be so incredibly hard.
Right.
It's not a down-to-down thing. It's once a day he's letting you down and the consistency of that letdown.
Right. And, you know, he could do 98% right. It's a 2% that he does wrong. It seems like they're always in the worst moments, come at the worst times, and I think that's ultimately what happens. I mean, you could be a guy that's just, you know, when you get called for holding, it's an incompletion, or it's a stop and it's a fourth down. They decline it. You just move off and then that's it. But with Garrett Bowles, it's a, you know, Devontae Booker's highlight film touchdown against the Colts that gets called back, you know, is one really true NFL highlight.
Right.
Doesn't happen now because, of course, Bowles gets called for holding a big third down completion. Flag up, holding Bowles. Or you get three of them in the span of literally 30 seconds.
Right.
So it's just stuff like that. So he's a little bit unlucky because everybody holds on the offensive line. He's unlucky when, stone cold shot at the goal for Bologna and Calgary stopped it. What a stop.
That was incredible. Sorry.
Well, that's what it's come to.
Oh, my Lord.
So, it's when it happens, right? And, you know, he's a little bit unlucky that his always happen at the worst times. The worst times.
Yeah.
And so they're highlighted even more.
If he can just clean that up, if it can be every other game, like, because Garrett.
Like half.
Half.
7, 8, 9. I mean, keep it under double digits. Would you take it right now?
Yes.
That's what we were playing that game, Deal or No Deal, the other day. Under 10. How many did he have last year?
Oof.
Was it 14, 15?
I forget. So it was right there.
Okay, I'm going to go this number right here. I'm going to go 10.
I would take that in a second.
Yes.
I would take that in a second because Garrett and you know, what deserves to be mentioned sometimes is like, and we will say this. I heard Orlando say it the other
12?
Day. Gosh. I mean, 12 is leading. You're flirting like with the league lead.
Right. But he's been over 12, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has been. And especially, and I heard Orlando say this the other day, like because someone like me has said, well, in the last five games, he only had one holding call.
Right.
And Orlando said, that was one accepted holding call.
Yes.
He had more.
I heard that.
So, and I heard Sandy say in the same conversation that he has basically averaged one holding call per game over 3 years of his career. That is unacceptable. That is beyond. Think about another position. Think about another position. If once a week Cortland Sutton dropped the ball, if once a week Chris Harris Jr. gave up a, you know, big play, if once a week the quarterback, you know, went to go throw it and it, you know, he lost control of the ball in the backfield. Like that, these holding calls they're massive, and the timely nature of them, the untimely nature of them, are massive. If you gave me 12,
how about 11? How about let's do 11? I think that's a sweet spot. 12 is a little bit too high. I think you would gamble on that. 10, you would take for sure, probably. How about 11? Would you gamble on Garrett Bowles going into this year? Given what you said about, hey, how much better it was with Drew Locke, and he went from, you know, Pro Football Focus 66 to 86 or 68.
Yeah, 68 to 86, yeah.
His grade went up when Drew Locke took over. Would you take 11 right now, or would you gamble on him?
Ooh.
Deal or no deal? 11 sacks. Garrett Bowles 2020.
Wait, 11 sacks or 11 holding calls?
Holding calls, excuse me. 11, I'm sorry. Yes.
God. I go back to the Maya Angelou quote. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. This would be believing them the third time. Fourth.
You've seen 3 years of it.
I would take 11. Yes, I would.
You would.
Because that means he's playing entire games clean. He's playing at least 5 clean football games, which we just have not seen from him. And maybe some of those holding calls are 2 in 1 game. I mean, look, we saw 5 of them in 1 game.
We saw 3 in 30 seconds.
It was unbelievable.
We saw history.
We did see history. And we all, because we saw it, agreed that if a hat trick happens again with Garrett Bowles in the 2020 season, we are obligated to take the hat off your head and throw it on the field.
Yes. First time ever in an NFL game, hats will be raining down.
And all the little skate girls and boys come out with their brooms and put them in the big trash cans.
That's right.
I would take 11. Would you?
You make great point. I was kind of going back and forth and saying, you know what, I'm gonna gamble on Garrett Bowles because look at him under Drew Locke in the 5 games he was better. He was just better. And I was willing to gamble on it, but you make a great point. I mean, he is who he's been, and that would mean 5 clean games, and maybe more than that if he has, hopefully 1 game he'd have 3. And then so that would mean a lot more than 5. Yeah, get him out of the way. So I think, yes, I would take it.
All right.
Deal.
All right.
But the hype videos are crazy. I mean, they're just crazy. I couldn't imagine doing that. And then you're putting it to music. It's not like, you mentioned Jerry Jeudy. Well, that's fine. Somebody's just filming him working out.
Right.
Right? And
there's
just
production value. There's production value.
Garrett Bowles is, I mean, he's doing all kind of stuff. I mean, somebody produced this thing.
There's no doubt.
It is total hype video.
but my favorite part about the whole thing, which makes it so ironic, is he put one emoji to the video, and that's the emoji with the finger over their mouth, like, shh.
Oh, like, I didn't even notice that.
But I'm like, wait a second. You're doing the emoji with the mouth like, shh, but you're releasing a fully produced workout video.
Yeah.
So which one is it? Are you working in silence or are you putting out a production video and music to it?
Well, I think he's trying to silence the critics.
Maybe so.
Think that's what it is.
Maybe so.
Hey, how about this? Knocking him for not being at the off-season workouts. Was he there? I thought he wasn't there.
I don't believe he was.
Right. So kind of like, hey, I'm out here. I'm working. Quiet down, people. Don't worry about GB. GB's working.
GB got this.
Yes, he's working.
He's doing bench press with the chains hanging. So
yes.
You know it's heavyweight.
Yes.
Serious business in there. All right.
Getting a lot of help from the spotter also. I noticed that.
Pinkies.
Yeah, no, that was full on. That guy's biceps were straining, helping him lift that up.
Help. We have, or how have, the odds for Von Miller to win Defensive Player of the Year changed year over year. And what do they look like for Bradley Chubb, by the way? I got him right here in my hands. Get to it next. How have the odds for Von Miller to win Defensive Player of the Year changed year over year? And what did they look like for Bradley Chubb? Stoke, at this time last year, Von Miller was the 4th most likely player to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Wow.
According to the Action Network, it was plus 1,000 a year ago. So if you bet Von to win Defensive Player of the Year and you put it on $100 and he won it last year, you would have won $1,000. That at the time, last offseason, that trailed only Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, and J.J. Watt. That's it. Those were the top 5. Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt, and Von Miller. Now, eventually, Stephon Gilmore went on to win a Defensive Player of the Year. This season, the odds, in the most literal sense, for Von Miller to win Defensive Player of the Year are twice as long. From one offseason to the next, he goes from plus 1,000 to plus 2,000 to win Defensive Player of the Year, meaning that it's twice as unlikely, according to the experts.
Nice math there.
You see how I did that?
Yeah.
Because 1,000 plus another 1,000 is 2,000.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. So if you lay down $100 at a Vegas window, or right here in Colorado, by the way, If you lay down $100 for Vaughn to win Defensive Player of the Year, just $100, and he goes and wins that thing,
yeah.
you get $2,000 back.
Wow.
But that tells you how unlikely the experts think that it is, that it actually happens. And instead of trailing only Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, and J.J. Watt, this offseason, Von Miller to win Defensive Player of the Year, that ranks behind Aaron Donald, Nick Bosa, T.J. Watt, Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, Stephon Gilmore, and Myles Garrett. The reaction from the experts to his 2019 season. That's what this is.
Yeah. Well, I look at it and say it could have been worse. Those odds could have been worse than 2000 plus 2000.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. I think there's probably should be more people in front of him that have better odds to win that Defensive Player of the Year. Because last year was a really, really bad year from Vaughn. And I'm going off of that. So I think they're being nice to Vaughn when it comes to these odds.
Well,
what do you think?
They're still giving him respect by putting him that high.
Right.
Really?
Yes.
Like giving his the bigger picture of his career respect.
His past.
His past. Yeah. Yeah.
Because if it was just your average person that just normal defensive end / outside linebacker that had 8 sacks the previous year, they're not going to be
no
at that number. They're going to be a lot higher.
A lot higher. And I got to be honest, I was a little bit surprised by Bradley Chubb's long shot. Bradley Chubb to win Defensive Player of the Year is at plus 4,000. There are like 20 players that are more likely to win Defensive Player of the Year than Bradley Chubb, which, again, just to reset, plus 4,000 means that if you put down $100 and he won Defensive Player of the Year, they'd hand you back $4,000 along with your $100 that you initially invested.
I almost think that Bradley Chubb should be ahead of Von Miller.
You think so, huh?
Almost. I'm kind of going back and forth on that. My only hang up there is, you know, we don't know. Bradley Chubb didn't do anything last year either.
No.
Right? Vaughn had a down year, but he played, I think, 15 out of 16 games.
He did.
Bradley Chubb had, what, a half? One sack?
Yeah, he had one sack in 4 games.
Yeah. So,
which was really a slow start to his second season.
So I have a hard time all of a sudden saying, you know, he should be ahead of Vaughn. But I think they should be very, very close. I don't think it should be Vaughn plus 2,000 and Chubb plus 4,000.
So they're telling you it's twice as unlikely for Chubb. Twice as unlikely. And I don't agree with that. I'm with you. I don't agree with that. But
I think Chubb probably should come down a little bit and Vaughn should go up a little bit.
Mm.
That's where I would do it. But they're giving Vaughn his due credit because of the player that he has been.
Yeah. And we're hoping that he can recapture. The Broncos need it, man. The Denver Broncos, they need Von Miller. If they're going to be the best version of themselves in 2020, it's not going to be totally on the back of, you know, Bradley Chubb. It can't be. It can't be like that.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully, during the season, we're getting back to, you know, how many of these guys' combined sacks are they putting up? And what's reasonable there? What's reasonable when we talk about combined sacks for Chubb and Von?
If I had to guess or if I'm...
You. I'm asking you personally.
What do I think it will be at the end of the season?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay. Both of them combined.
I'm writing down my number right now.
Okay. Combined numbers for those two guys. I'm going to go... I'm in between... I'm right in the 20s, okay? I'm not going to be, you know, 33 at number. I'm not going to put it that high because just not going to do it. Can Von get to double digits? That's kind of what I'm going through. I think Chubb's going to have a good year.
Can Von get to double digits?
Yeah, can he get back to double digits? Kind of where I'm at in my head right
now. Man, I never thought we'd be here when he's at 31 years old.
I know, but I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, no, it is.
Because
he's
of what we saw last year. And his age, has he hit the wall in his career? Or was it just a hiccup? Hopefully it was just a hiccup. I'll say 25.
I literally have 25 and a half.
Unbelievable.
I have 25 and a half because I have Von Miller going for 13 sacks this year. And I have Chubb going for 12 and a half.
I'm hoping. That's kind of, yeah, I mean, that's kind of right where I'm at, you know, in that area. And I'm kind of saying that, you know, with everything that we've been hearing, that Von, it was a hiccup, a little bump, a speed bump in the road for Von last year.
If they get to this number, if Chubb and Von are combining for 25 sacks, the way that you and I just both spontaneously had them at, the Broncos will have a top three defense in this league.
Okay, I like it. I like it. I'm not going to argue that. They should. We got extras. We got extras here in this epic classic. Bologna and it's not Calgary.
It's like Caglia.
Yeah.
It's Italian League soccer.
Okay.
And this is where we're at here. This is what's on the big screen in our American Financing Studio.
Don't you think they should have replay in soccer? I don't think they do.
Like the challenge stuff?
Yeah, they should have replay. Yes. Replay.
I don't know if they don't.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
Don't they replay offsides and stuff like that?
I don't think they do.
No?
Do they?
I don't know.
Hit us up. Let us know if they replay offsides and stuff in soccer, because I think that, you know what else they should replay, Zach?
The flops?
Yes. It's ridiculous.
Is that where you're going?
Yes. That's it. That's what I think they should do, because look, if we can replay the flops, and if you're flopping, you're getting a yellow. Bam. Or you're getting a red, whatever it may be.
They put that rule in hockey a couple of years ago, diving.
How about basketball has it? Right? You can't flop in basketball.
That's right. They change that too.
It's ridiculous watching where guys just take dives and you have this one ref right in the middle of the field. Look, and this guy, he has to see everything. And he's running, you know, all over the place. And, you know, he can't tell if the guy slide tackles, if he, you know, whatever. And this guy just flopped. And they're huge calls. I think they ought to have challenges and they ought to be able to review if you flopped or not.
Sounds fair to me.
There you go.
I watch soccer once every 4 years until a pandemic hit.
Right.
And here's this is where we're at. Stoke, is there a chance the Kansas City Chiefs, the big bad wolf of the AFC West, could be without one of their stars come this season? Interesting what is unfolding right now in Kansas City. We'll take a dive into it next. Stoke, is there a chance the Kansas City Chiefs could be without one of their stars come the season? And by the way, I gotta apologize. Earlier in the show, I said I had massive breaking news, and like, the text line was asking me like, when are you gonna get to this? When are you gonna get to this?
Oh,
and we got to it. The news was that Carole Baskin is on Cameo, and if you pay $149.99, Carole Baskin can record a personalized message to you. So I'm not sure why that's not on the bottom line of the ticker. I'm sure ESPN will get to it, but I wonder if I found out the date of her first husband's birth that she could record a birthday message for him.
Wow.
Kansas City, NFL Network's Mike Garofalo reported yesterday on NFL Total Access that Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones has always viewed himself as a $20 million plus per year player, but that the Chiefs have never seen him in that same light and have never offered him that substantial an amount. Garofalo added that there's a lot of work to be done if a long-term pact is to be had, and Garofalo was not confident that that's going to happen. Jones, who is an absolute monster, replied to a Twitter to a tweet replying to the video of Garofalo's report that a holdout might be in store. And then the tweet said from Jones, quote, "Or I won't play. Le'Veon Bell told me about this," end quote. What do you make of what's going on in Kansas City right now?
Well, it's very interesting. Obviously, Chris Jones is a top three interior defensive lineman. I mean, he's right up there. You know, you look at Aaron Donald and
Eric Armstead.
Yeah, those guys. I mean, he's right there with those guys. And so he's a dominant force in the interior, and we've seen how valuable those guys are. And we've seen the Chiefs defense with them in the lineup and healthy and without him. They're a totally different defense. So, very valuable member of that defense. They only have so much money to pay out.
Yeah.
Can they afford to keep him? Right now they have him on the franchise tag. What's going to happen this year? I think it's all talk from him when he's saying Le'Veon Bell style. I think those are threats that he won't follow through on with.
Well, if he should learn anything from Le'Veon Bell, he shouldn't be following through with it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's not a smart way to go about it. Melvin Gordon tried it last year.
There you go.
How long did that last? 4 weeks, came back. Obviously, it was a huge mistake. He lost a lot of money.
And the Chargers chose to pay his buddy that was playing in his stead through those first 4 weeks.
That's right. So I think that's really a lot of talk from him. I mean, he's going to make a ton of money this year.
Ton of money.
I don't know. A whole lot of money.
And the thing is, you're never going to get that back. Nope. Even if you sign a big mega deal, Le'Veon Bell's getting paid out the nose right now. He's never going to get back the money that he gave up.
Never. And so I don't know what that tag number looks like for Chris Jones, but I'm sure it's 14, 15, 16 million bucks right around there. Not sure what it is exactly. So that's a lot of money he would be holding out and just turning down. So I would say that he's not going to do that. I think he was a second round pick, third round, something like that. He wasn't a first round pick.
No, it wasn't a first round pick.
Out of Mississippi State, I want to say.
I think the projected tender would be $16.1 million for 2020.
Yeah, I mean, you're not passing that up.
You can't.
You're not passing it up.
And by the way, if Le'Veon Bell was giving him advice, he should tell him that.
Right. I made a mistake.
Right.
It didn't work out. Look at how much money I lost because of that. Now, you could be trying to force their hand right now, and usually that's what players do. Mm-hmm. But when push comes to shove, they show up and they play and they try to, you know, you're going to make that $16 million for really 5-6 months worth of work. I mean, there's no off-season stuff going on. I mean, training camp's going to be, who knows what that's going to look like. I just don't see anybody passing up that type of number, especially given the history of Le'Veon Bell, and everybody sees that, and it didn't work out well for him. Yeah, he ended up getting paid. He was fortunate that the Jets ponied up money because I'm glad they did, because it could have been a disaster for him if the Jets didn't pony up the money that they did. But he still lost a bunch of money.
He still lost a bunch of money. And by the way, if the Jets could do it again with who's in charge right now, they would have never gave him the money in the first place.
Nope.
So... you know, and I'm kind of surprised that he's still there. They've had a lot of beef, Le'Veon Bell and the Jets.
A lot of talk. You know, I don't know what's real, what's not real. You hear a lot of the rumblings, and you just never quite know the real truth. And, you know, do they get along? Does Adam Gase like him? Doesn't he like him? Is he glad he's there? Does he wish he wouldn't have signed him? All those things. It's just rumors. You know, is Manish Mehta reporting it? And he hates Gase and hates the Jets, it seems like. So he's always trying to cause drama. So who's reporting it? What's the facts?
Did it come from Manish's burner?
Right. The burner.
What a crazy accusation.
Whatever happened with that?
I don't think much of anything.
Just kind of.
I don't think it was proven. I think it was insinuated. I mean, he still has a job. He's a bulldog, but, I mean, that would have put him in a different type of category. Okay. Did Tyler Palumbus really say what I thought he said this past week? I hope I'm wrong about this.
Mm.
When it comes to redrafting the 2018 class with the Broncos fifth pick, I hope I'm wrong, but we'll grill Tyler, who will join us next. So I've heard some really awesome conversations over the last couple days that have been engaging for sure. And with between Tyler Palumbus and Darren McKee. And Tyler joins us here. Tyler, I thought that I heard you, and I'm not. And I'm not a thousand.
Are you talking about when is Tyler talking about losing his hair? Or,
You know what, Stoke? I was waiting for somebody. Congratulations on being the very first.
Yes!
I'm proud of you.
Yes!
I cannot believe it took this long.
I know.
But, I mean, congrats on being the first, my friend.
Good.
I absolutely love it. But Mike Evans silk pajamas. Thanks for putting yourself out there.
Hey, fellas, there's not a whole lot I won't do for money, especially when I actually do have a bald spot, you know?
I can attest to that. You do.
That's right.
I absolutely love it. Well, you guys have been sounding great. And the conversations, which I just find fascinating when it comes to, you know, the Monday morning quarterback stuff with looking back at drafts and redrafting. And if you knew then what you know now, how would you go about it? And I thought, and I'm being sincere with this, because I don't know if I heard it in the right proper context.
Well, probably not. I mean, if you don't agree with what I said, you probably didn't hear it right, Zach.
Well, I thought I heard you say if you were to redraft the 2018 class and you were picking at 5 and you're the Broncos and it fell the way that it fell, Baker, Saquon, Sam Darnold, Denzel Ward, and then the Broncos are on the clock, you would select Quentin Nelson. Do I have that right?
Well, no, you did not hear that correct.
Okay.
Shocker. You know, you're trying to pull me out of context here. But
hey, that's why we brought you on.
Here's what I said. I said if I was on the clock at the time and knowing the information that they knew, I didn't have a crystal ball, and we certainly don't know after the fact that Lamar Jackson at number 32 has turned into a league MVP type of player, right? We don't know anything about these players other than the film that we have watched, okay? So we're going into this thing blind. We're going into it as we're actually evaluating these prospects. So if I was on the clock and I was the Denver Broncos, knowing what we knew then, who would I have selected? And the answer to that is Quentin Nelson, because Quentin Nelson was far and away the best football player in that class. You know, there were other quarterbacks that certainly D-Mac is losing his mind over. If you don't say you're going to take a QB, I mean, D-Mac's going to lose his dang mind, which is kind of fun. So intentionally, no matter what, I'm just not going to say QB because I enjoy that. But, yeah, I mean, listen, Quentin Nelson, best football player by far, hands down, in that year's draft class. Now, knowing what we know now, is Lamar Jackson more valuable to his football team than Quentin Nelson? Of course, he's a quarterback. Of course, and he actually hit. He's actually tremendous at what he does. But Quentin Nelson, at the time, was by far the best football player.
Well, I'll say this to that. I think the Broncos got it right with what they did there at the time, giving what they were looking for. I would have preferred a quarterback at that time, and Sam Darnold was gone. I wanted Sam Darnold, but Josh Allen would have been fine at 5. If you're not going to go quarterback and you're looking at it from your perspective and you say, hey, give me a guard, even though this guy's a really good guard, or give me a, you know, outside linebacker who profiles, a pass rusher like Bradley Chubb, who profiles as hopefully, you know, your next Von Miller type of football player, I think you got to lean towards one of those premium positions,
yeah.
And that is the pass rusher.
Well, I hear you, Stoke, and 99% of the time I would agree with you, except for what were the Broncos' circumstances at the time? The Broncos had pass rushers galore. They had Von Miller. They had Shaq Barrett. They had Shane Ray. A pass rusher was not even remotely a position of need on this football team. And offensive line, I mean, we're going back for 5, 6, 7, 8 years now. I mean, back to when I was on the team, even during the Super Bowl year, offensive line has been an issue for 8-plus years around here. So if you're telling me we could have selected a foundational two contract guaranteed Pro Bowl type of player at a position of need over a pass rusher, yeah, I would have taken it.
Oh, but you know, pass rushers come and go sometimes. When you look at Shaq Barrett, he wasn't considered an elite pass rusher. That's not the way they viewed him. Shane Ray was one of those guys that I felt like, you know, they realized that they missed on, and they felt like Bradley Chubb was a Von Miller type of player, like a decade plus type of pass rusher where we can't pass on this guy and say, oh, we got Shaq Barrett and Shane Ray. This guy is too good to pass up on. And at some point here in the next year or two, Von's going to be gone. We don't know what's going to happen with Shane. You can never have too many good pass rushers.
Well, hey,
I mean, we found a great guard in the second round.
Well, you did. I mean, how you been doing before that, Stoke, and how you been doing after that? We don't even know.
We got Glasgow now. So
yeah.
We're
well,
good.
Let's hope that he works out. Let's hope that Lloyd Cushenberry works out. Let's hope that our two tackles that have got gigantic question marks around them, let's hope that they both work out. But yeah, man. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I really do. Broncos did not have a guaranteed type of pass rusher in house. I guess I'm just looking at it as the best football player. Good news. Hey, man. They didn't mess up. By no means did the Broncos mess up. They selected Bradley Chubb, which in my mind is, traditionally speaking, quarterback is the biggest priority on your football team. Then you go offensive tackle, then pass rusher, then corner. That's the way I would rank it. So you selected a guy that was number three on my personal priority list if I wasn't weighing in position of need. So it's not like they messed up the pick even remotely. Obviously, they hit on Bradley Chubb. Obviously, he's a phenomenal player. I'm just saying the guy that I would have selected would have been Quentin Nelson.
Well, I'll say this, man. I'll say this, and I am not trying to be – I'm not trying to stir anything up. I'm not trying – there's no ulterior motive here, but you're referring to Bradley Chubb as a great player. I believe that he could be a great player, but we have to see more. He had a great season because I'll tell you this. This is the second time he's done his ACL. People get hurt often in this sport. He's one injury away from us saying that he's injury prone. And if you remember the way he started last year, it was very slow and quiet. And now you can say, well, he should have had the hit on Trubisky and that should have never been called. And I agree. But there was four games. And after four games, he was on pace for four sacks for the season.
Right.
So I am excited about Bradley Chubb. I'm optimistic. But we have got to see more because we have seen time and time again guys come into this league, have some success, and then fade away. Alden Smith. Javon Kearse. We've seen these guys burst onto the scene, and then you look 4 or 5 years later and they fizzled out. We have got to see more, and we need to see it this season with Bradley Chubb.
Dude, totally fair. I mean, absolutely a fair comment. You got one really good rookie season out of Bradley Chubb, and then you got a handful of games in which neither him or Von Miller were doing anything, and he got hurt. So what do we really know? I don't know, and I do think it's interesting. I've actually been guilty of this myself on our own show. So many of us have just been talking about Bradley Chubb like he's almost already replaced Von Miller. You know, like Von Miller is almost there to be Bradley Chubb's Batman or Robin to his Batman, right?
Yeah.
And well, hold on, like he's got a long ways to go before he's arrived at that point.
Yeah, I think you look at his rookie season and people are kind of projecting, but like Zach said, I mean, he makes a good point there where he's one injury away this year from all of a sudden two out of his first 3 years or, you know, he becomes injury prone and he gets that type of label. Obviously, he started off great, but you know, with the being the fifth overall pick, you want some consistency there, and it's a big year for him. Tyler,
go ahead. And this is what we can do now since we're in the same room because you see me, I want to jump in. Stoke, correct me if I'm wrong, and Tyler too. Isn't it after the third season that the fifth year option gets picked up? Right, the off season going.
Yeah, I mean
going
into the fourth year. Yes.
So again, just to put a bow on this conversation. It's got to be a big year for Chubb because that big time decision on your fifth overall pick has got to be made in the following offseason.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I just
want to
jump in.
Yeah. Hey, sounds like we're all in agreement. They should have selected that Quentin Nelson. Good job, guys. That was great.
Hey, Tyler, I wanted to get your thoughts on there was a suggestion floated out there. I don't know how seriously and where it came from that teams might want to try to fly in the day of the game. And I don't know if you've seen this.
Yeah, I saw it.
And I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. You know, you made a lot of plane rides. You played in the NFL for a long time. What would your thoughts be on if you had to fly in to play a game on the same day that you're playing the game?
Man, I don't even know how this is a conversation. Like, I don't even know how they are even remotely entertaining this. Like physically, logistically. I just don't think it's feasible. I don't think you could physically do it. You know, if you're talking about an away game, you play like for example, when you play Kansas City, you play at 12 o'clock, right? So what are you gonna do? You can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and hop on a plane before you get out to Kansas City, be all dehydrated from your plane ride, because that's what happens when you get on planes. You get very dehydrated, your muscles get incredibly stiff, and you get off the plane and you try to go play a football game. I can only imagine the injuries that you're talking about in a situation like that. But you know, just just logistically, football is not a sport that you can show up and play. It's not like basketball where you could just show up and lace up your tennis shoes and you're ready to rock and roll. Like a lot of guys, especially offensive linemen, we'd get to the stadium 3 hours before the game even began. You know, like how the heck are you going to get on a plane and get guys there 3 hours before the game even begins? Maybe the only way I could see it is if you got a Monday night football game against a divisional opponent that is like an hour or less type of plane ride, you know?
Yes, I agree. I agree with everything you said.
Tyler Palumbis from The Drive dropping by here. Philip Lindsay is sort of at it again. And I'm seeing this.
What?
I'm seeing on Instagram. He was working out with Drew Lock here in the last day. Okay, and I saw this put out on Instagram by a fellow by the name of Lamar Griffin, who is working on a Shaq Barrett documentary. And the only reason I know that is because he asked me to chime in on it.
Seven layers deep here.
Yeah. So how about this?
Whoa! You're in the documentary?
That's right. So
nice.
So Lamar puts on Twitter a video of Drew Lock giving a pass to Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay posts on his Twitter him catching the ball, and he's catching it with one hand, and the words on the screen says, "Like I said, we gonna see."
Oh,
double down.
And then he has a picture of Drew Lock, and it says Drew Lock times Philip Lindsay. And then there's another picture of him running around and catching a ball. And then there's a last picture of him catching a ball with one hand, and the word at the bottom just says soon. So, I love the fact that Philip Lindsay has a chip on his shoulder, okay? And we know that it's not just a chip, it's like it's a boulder up there, and we love that. But I go back to the conversation that we've sort of been touch and go on. Like, when does it become, like, Melvin is the vessel? I know he's not pissed off at Melvin personally, but does Melvin become the vessel of the frustration?
Yeah.
And I think that question is fair, Tyler.
Well, I think it's already happening. You know, how else do you interpret any of these tweets or these Instagram posts other than him saying, I am better than Melvin Gordon. I am better than this dude. That signing is going to be a bust. You know, how else do you interpret it? Now, I'm not knocking him. I love this. I mean, that's what makes Philip Lindsay a bulldog, man. And that's why Philip Lindsay will rise to the top again. And that's why I firmly believe that by the time this season is all said and done, all it's going to take is Philip Lindsay getting the crack in like the third or fourth game. Melvin Gordon's is kind of average out there. Philip busted loose for 20 yards. All of a sudden in the first half, he goes for 75. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, Philip Lindsay's got a full-time workload in this offense, and I do believe that's going to happen. I think Philip is walking on a little bit of thin ice. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I can't imagine. I know I would never question my teammates like that in a public forum. And
columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.